We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we are, drawing towards the last third of the month of March in 2015 already. It's hard to believe that this year is flying by the way that it is already. On the bright side, my wife and I we got some enjoyable stuff planned here in a few weeks. And so I'm just going to set my sight a little further down the road and say, you know what, that's going to be a great time. So thank you. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And right here in Brevard County, we want to welcome you to a new week of broadcast. We're going to be in John, the 8th chapter this morning is where we're going to begin. John, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to say thank you to Bill Andriak with Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. He and his wife Heidi have been part of our church for quite some time now, and she leads our worship. And just as she helps set the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere in our sanctuary, Bill can help establish the atmosphere of your heating and cooling system in your home. If you have a need for a repair, you can give him a call, 759-3284, 759-3284. And I just want to say thank you for those who have called. I've talked to a number of our business partners here that help us with the, you know, a small portion of the expenses of the radio program. And they have, most of them, let's see, I can look at one, two, three. There's at least three out of the four who have personally told me, hey, Pastor, we got a phone call from the radio program. And so we want to say thank you for supporting those businesses. So we're going to be in John, the 8th chapter today. John, the 8th chapter. And we're going to be in verse number 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We have been talking a little bit about the breakthrough, the innovations that took place that helped caused skyscrapers to be able to go higher into the elevations. And one of those inventions that took place was that they started putting glass facades on the buildings instead of just having, you know, little windows and things like that. You know, I think it, when the stock market crash in 1929 took place, that they realized there was a need for safety to do something different with those windows, because there were so many people that decided, you know what, the economy has come crashing to an end. My life is over as I know it. And boom, out the window they went. That's not the purpose of the window. The purpose of the glass facade and the window is to let life in. And remember, we been talking about how skyscrapers increase capacity. It is for a larger group of people to be able to come together for a common purpose or a common function. And so you and I, we need to look at John chapter 8, and it says, I am the light of the world. Jesus wasn't the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Even in 2015, he is still the light of the world. Isn't it interesting that what is taking place in our society is that we are trying to push out Jesus from the core of our nation, And then we wonder why there are so many ramifications of darkness. It would be as if you could reach up and pull a chain on the sun, or put a shade around the sun to where you say, no, we don't need the sun anymore. And then you would wonder why suddenly the temperature dropped on Earth, or why everybody started dying and freezing to death. That's the same thing. Life on Earth cannot exist without the sun that is central to our solar system. In the same capacity, spiritually, we cannot function spiritually as a country, as individuals, without the light of the world, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 1, let's see, verse number 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Oh, I'm reading in the wrong section. I apologize. Verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overcome it. And so you and I, we need to realize that the light shines into the darkness. And when they started putting these glass facades on these skyscrapers, what it allowed the light to do was it allowed it to penetrate deeper into the building than it ever had. Prior to that, there were rooms with no windows, no natural light whatsoever. And I don't know if you have ever been in the darkness. One of the reasons that they indicate that January is generally known as the most depressing month of the year is because the weather is so difficult in the northern parts. There is less daylight because of the axis of the Earth as it rotates around the sun. There is less daylight than any other time in the northern hemisphere all year long. And so what happens as a result of that is people are not able to spend much time outside. They're not able to do much outside, and they miss that exposure to the sunlight. A few days ago, I was walking, and there was a person that said, I haven't been feeling that well, and so I'm just sitting out here getting a little bit of sunlight. I'm just getting a little. And you and I, if we are going to be able to go to new heights, if we're going to be able to expand our horizons and influence more people, we're not going to accomplish that by less exposure to Jesus. It's going to take more exposure to Jesus. It's going to take more time in his word. It's going to take more time in prayer. It is going to take more time worshiping him. It's going to take more time studying. We need exposure to Jesus. And it's not just designed to be around the periphery or on the outside portions of our life. God wants that light to penetrate to the very core of our being. I don't want a single area of my life that the light of Jesus Christ does not reach into that area, because I don't want to love darkness more than light. I love the light. And not only do I have a supernatural love for the light, I have a natural love for the light. We have this thing that goes on at our house, and that is, hey, I want to turn lights on. I'm going around and I'm turning lights on or throwing blinds open or whatever, because I like to have that light. Part of it is because I like to know what is at my feet. Several years ago, we had a black dog named Shadow. He has since gone on, but we were watching a movie or something, and they had the room so dark that it was as dark as a movie theater in my living room that particular night. And so I got up to walk to my bedroom, and what I didn't know was this black dog was at my feet. And when I walked, I started tripping over him. He started trying to get out of my way. I was just trying to keep from falling on the ground. And everywhere he went was where I was going. And the two of us just kind of stumbled over each other for about 15 feet or so. And it's like, we are turning on the light. And folks, we are living in a society where people are stumbling in the darkness every day. The only thing that has caused them from coming crashing down in a disastrous fall is the grace and the mercy of God. But I'm telling you, the process of falling and that stumbling, it is not a graceful experience. And so much of that could be avoided if we just increased our exposure to Jesus. You know, there's a saying that's been popping up on Facebook here again recently, that it's gone on for a while, but it is this: the person who, or a Bible who is falling apart generally belongs to someone whose life isn't falling apart. And you know, I know this, we don't live perfect lives, but I can tell you that I am thankful for the Word of God, because it tells me the things that grieves the Father's heart. It also tells me the things that the enemy has planned that will try and trip us up. You know, there's no temptation that is new. Everything appeals to the same core areas of our lives. Sometimes it's packaged a little differently, but the enemy's plan is still to steal, to kill, and destroy. The best way to expose the enemy's plan is to shine the light in it, to shine the light in it. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why people are trying to intimidate the church into not preaching so much about the standard of righteousness that Jesus has for us. Because whenever we start preaching that word, it shines the light, and all of a sudden the light exposes everything that is out of place. I don't know if you've ever walked into a building or into a room and you turn the lights on, and when you did, the bugs just scatter. But that's what happens whenever the light comes on. Everything that is not of God starts running for cover. And I will tell you this, a friend of mine quoted a book, and I don't know the name of the book, but he said that in the scriptures, every time that a demon-possessed person manifests that demonic possession in the presence of Jesus, Jesus was the victor. Jesus came out of that situation victorious. The person came out of that situation delivered and set free. And so whenever there is a problem that manifests, and it comes face to face with the light, then the reality is you and I are going to be we're going to be victorious. I want to take you back to John 8, because there's an interesting thing there that it says, not just that Jesus is the light of the world, but it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so you and I, we need to be, if we're going to increase in our stability in our life, if we're going to be more of a spiritual skyscraper than a spiritual sinkhole, then we have got to be proactive about not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. Not just about knowing him, but about following him. It is that following process that causes us not to walk in darkness. And then we get to experience the light and the life that God has for us. So the one thing that they realized is when there was there was greater exposure to the light was that they needed something to deal with the atmosphere inside of the building. It was actually a skyscraper that necessitated the invention for air conditioning, for the air to be transformed in order to make the building habitable for the people who were working there. And I want you to know that God has been changing the atmosphere inside the structure of the church. He did it at the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. All of a sudden, the word of God, the word of life was preached. People were convicted of their sins. People repented. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They began to have daily interaction with the word of God. And, you know, our churches are not meant to be stale hot boxes where all we do is preach hellfire and brimstone. You know, they're Pentecostals have, you know, had that reputation for a long time, you know, that this preacher was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Well, you know, that may be, you know, hell is a reality. Jesus said it was a reality. That makes it a reality in my book. That there's going to come a time where people who have chosen not to follow Jesus, they're not going to have that option anymore. They're going to be granted their choice. Those things are a reality. But I want you to know that God's plan is that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit he comes along to guide us into all truth. He is there as an usher, if you will, ushering us into all truth. He's not beating us into it. It's a divine we are cooperating with God the Holy Spirit. Since I can't come up with the right word, I'll just rephrase it. We are cooperating with God the Holy Spirit in walking in life. The Holy Spirit is an empowering force. He is a purifying force. He changes the atmosphere. Listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It talks about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you have come from an experience or a background where, you know, all it was when you were part of a church was a list of rules of do's and don'ts, I'd like to invite you to come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God, because we welcome the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. He deals with people in their sins. He, you know, when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And so, you know, there's a lot of blessings and benefits that the Spirit of God brings. If the Holy Spirit wasn't necessary for you and I, Jesus would not have sent him. Okay? Just the same way as Jesus was necessary for us to be saved, and he came because the Father sent him, the Lamb that was crucified from before the foundations of the world, he came and gave his life as a ransom for many, so that all who would come to repentance would know him, they would have everlasting life. The Father sent Jesus. Jesus said, "It is expedient for you, it is beneficial for you that I return to the Father," because the Father has made a promise that the Holy Spirit is coming. And when I am gone, I am going to send the promised Holy Spirit. He is the promise of the Father. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was absolutely expedient. He's necessary for us. The truth of the matter is, we cannot know the Word of God without the Spirit of God. You can study it, you can know all of the ins and outs, but you will not know the life-giving force of the Word of God until the Spirit of God brings it to life in your life. The Word of God, it says it is spiritual and it is spiritually discerned. And so our prayer at Merit Assembly of God is for there to be less interaction with the Holy Spirit, but that there would be more interaction with the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you have need of. It says that the Holy Spirit intercedes in for the saints in accordance with the perfect will of God. You know what? Without Him, I can't pray for you in accordance with the perfect will of God. But He does. He does. He knows exactly what God's will is. And that's how He prays for you and I. The Sunday before last, it was a very interesting day. You know, spring in Florida lasted for about 20 minutes. We went from winter to summer, just bam. You know, all of a sudden we went from down into the 40s and 30s, up into the upper 80s, in at least in Orlando area, close to 90 in March. Normally we don't hit 90 until May. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm going to thank God for our air conditioner this summer, if it's that hot already. So on Sunday mornings, we have a team of intercessors that they gather and they start praying for our services. And normally I turn the air conditioner on and they said, no, it's just right in here right now. And so it was too hot for me, but it was just right for them. And so I walked over and our worship team was getting prepared and the sanctuary building was 3.5 degrees cooler than the place where the intercessors were meeting. And they were saying, we don't want to cool anymore down up here in the intercessors meeting. But in the sanctuary, they're saying, Pastor, it is so hot or in here. And they were looking for me to cool it down over there. Thermally, actually at our church, we have a thermally diverse sanctuary. One side is about 1 degree or 2 degrees warmer than what the other side of the sanctuary is. And so we're able to accommodate a little bit more like that. And then if you like it even cooler, you know, you can set it underneath an air conditioning vent and everything is going to be just fine. The Holy Spirit knows exactly your comfort level. He's not going to force anything on you that you're not comfortable with. And I want you to know, it is Jesus came that to be the light of the world. He came for that light to penetrate every area of our life. And he knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. I pray today that you just throw open every closet and say, Jesus, would you do a spring cleaning? Would you clean out my mind? Would you clean out my emotions? Would you clean out my spirit? Would you take away every sin? Would you take away every weight that is not of you? I want to be able to fix my eyes on Jesus. But the Spirit of God creates that atmosphere where we can grow, where we can begin to walk in the giftings that God has for us. And so I pray that our churches would be known as places of righteousness. I pray that our churches would be known as places of peace. And I also pray that our churches would be known as places of joy in the Holy Spirit. I talked a little bit about the legalistic aspect of church and how sometimes our churches can be known for our rules. I pray that you and I would be reminded by the Holy Spirit of the joy of our salvation. And that's really important. May you experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. When we come to church, I pray that it would be a heaven party, a heaven celebration, a heaven festival, where the Holy Spirit of God fills the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that our facilities are not abandoned facilities, because the owner of the house is not welcome in the house. As I just said that, I'm reminded of a story that showed up here on the news not too long ago, that there was an owner of the house, and somebody had come in without his knowledge, taken ownership of his property as far as change the locks and everything, and said, "No, you're going to have to force me out. I'm entitled to live here, even though you're the owner of the house. I'm entitled to live here any way that I see fit, and there's nothing that you can do to stop me without going to court." And you know, I pray that that's not the reality of our churches, where we've been redeemed by the Son of God. He owns us, title, deed, and all. And yet so many times we want to shut his presence out of his own house. I'm telling you, I don't have words that can transform your life unless they're given to me by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure that the temple of the Holy Spirit is available for the Holy Spirit to occupy, because his job is to point people to Jesus, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not going to draw attention to himself. He's going to draw attention to Jesus. You know, Sunday before last, I preached a message, Now or Later. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the last days. It is later than we think. It is time that we utilized the gifts, the power, and the fruit that the Holy Spirit has available for us, because people need to see Jesus. They need light exposed. Let's close in prayer today. One more time, thanks to Creative AC Solutions for helping to bring this broadcast to you. 759-3284. God, I just pray right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the light of Jesus Christ would shine in our marriages, shine at our workplace, shine in our physical body to bring healing, that you would shine in our spirits to bring forgiveness of sins, that you would shine in our emotions, that you would shine in our relationships, God, that you would shine in our finances. May every part of our life line up with the Word of God. And I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would cause us to be, to realize the freedom that Jesus has brought to us, freedom from the shackles of sin, freedom from the captivity that the enemy had planned for us. God, I pray that we would walk in the fullness of the joy that you have provided for us. Restore the joy of salvation to the listeners of this broadcast, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We just want to say thank you once again for listening. May you be a blessing wherever you are at, and may God use you to promote his kingdom and bring glory and honor to his name. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bd bring you something new. I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.
It's like an